You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. Today being Pentecost, we focused our celebration the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birthday and ministry of the church. And it's terribly important, I think, to highlight what the Holy Spirit confers on the church at her very beginning, especially when considering the uncertain and often unsettling realities present in our world today. So that's what this sermon is about. What the Holy Spirit conferred when the church began and what he continues to confer on us today. And we're focusing today on these verses from John chapter 20 that we just heard read, where Jesus came and stood among the disciples on the evening of the resurrection and said to them, "Peace be with you." And talk about scratching an itch. If there was anything these disheartened, confused, and fearful disciples needed, it was peace. Biblical scholar James Boyce sets the scene like this. They had gone through the most traumatic week of their lives. For 3 years, they had followed Jesus in and out of hundreds of villages in Palestine and had come to both know and love him. They had watched him do miracles. They had heard him teach. They knew that hostility was growing against him on the part of the Jewish leaders and had therefore warned him not to go to Jerusalem. Still, they were unprepared for what happened. Suddenly, there was an arrest by night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they scattered in fear, presumably returning in the dark to Bethany. When these frightened men finally got to Jerusalem several days later, after much agony, they learned that the worst had happened. Jesus had been tried and crucified. Then, almost on top of that, and before they had even adjusted to the thought of his death and burial, word came of an empty tomb and of several alleged resurrection appearances. It makes sense, doesn't it, that the very first words that Jesus speaks to them after the resurrection are, "Peace be with you." Because again, can you imagine any set of circumstances creating more fear, regret, or anxiety than what those original disciples had experienced? Well, how about you? Do you currently have any fear, regret, or anxiety in your life? If so, then you're in the company of that group that was in the upper room on the evening of that first Easter Sunday. And after appearing and saying to them, "Peace be with you," it says, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said it again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Sure seems as though St. John really wants us to understand that the first thing Jesus gave his disciples through the gift of the Spirit was peace. Now, to be sure, peace can mean different things to different people. For example, many think of peace as being that feeling they will experience when they get something they want or think they need, like when I graduate from high school or college, or when I meet my person and get married, or when I retire, you fill in the blank. When Craig comes back from sabbatical, whatever it is, when this, then I'll have peace. Or when some kind of large-scale threat is removed, either at a macro level, like concern over global conflict or our country's financial debt, or more specific concerns that hit closer to home, like an uncertain job situation or insufficient savings for prolonged health care and retirement, or a child who is struggling, either emotionally or physically, parent or grandparent who can no longer recognize loved ones. Again, you fill in the blank. Consider for just a moment the perspective of those first disciples. I mean, everything collapsed when Jesus was arrested, condemned, and crucified, right? Can you imagine how hopeless their outlook must have been? And Jesus shows up and says, what? Peace be with you. It's a peace which must transcend circumstances because, again, what the disciples were dealing with was just about as bad as it gets. St. Paul describes it as the peace of God which transcends understanding. We quote that scripture in the closing blessing on Sunday mornings, which comes from Paul's letter to the Philippian church. And it's significant because we see that Paul is differentiating between peace, which is understandable, and peace, which passes understanding. We could call the peace that is understandable circumstantial peace. Peace which, again, is achieved when something that is perceived to be needed is gained, or something that is perceived to be a threat is removed. And in a world where conflict is the norm, and where each of us are dealing with any number of individual challenges going on in each of our respective lives, aren't we all under threat of attack to whatever peace we may have? And what we desperately want is to turn on the news and hear that something favorable has transpired, or to get a phone call saying that the oncology report is negative. We want all of the threats to be removed so that peace can be restored. But that isn't the kind of peace Jesus leaves his disciples. Like St. Peter in a sermon in Acts chapter 10 says, "We come to you preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, for we are witnesses. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. To him all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Preaching good news of peace, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And I don't know about you, but I've certainly found it to be true for me that where there is forgiveness, there is peace. In my marriage and in all relationships where there is forgiveness, there is peace. And it is most especially true in our relationship with Almighty God. Peace which doesn't depend upon the removal of a worldly threat, but the peace which can transcend any threat. This is the kind of peace that Jesus carried all the way to the cross, the kind of peace that would empower him to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's the kind of peace that a guy like Stephen carried to his grave as they unmercifully stoned him to death. The kind of peace that all Christian martyrs, past and present, carry with them to their execution. And it's the kind of peace that you and I can experience today amidst the unpredictable circumstances of our everyday lives. So we're talking today about two different kinds of peace. First, the circumstantial kind that comes about when something that is perceived to be needed is gained, or something that is perceived to be a threat is removed. The problem with this kind of peace is that, one, things don't always unfold as we want, and two, there's always another threat coming, just as sure as the sun will rise in the morning. But then there's this peace of God which passes understanding, and this is the kind we all really need. Because someone we love is in a bad situation, or someone we love is terminally ill, we need the peace of God which passes understanding, the kind that comes through knowing Jesus Christ and the power of his love, the peace that comes from knowing personally the one who said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." Before I begin to wrap this up, let me just very briefly shift gears and ask an obvious rhetorical question. Who has been entrusted to share this message of peace with the world? The church, of course. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." In other words, I'm giving you the authority to go out and make the power of the gospel known to a broken world. To the first Christians, the early church, authority was given to speak and preach to the world of the decisive action of God on the cross to forgive. And this is important, as is our Christian witness in the world today. Have you ever considered that? What a privilege and responsibility we have as Christians to bear witness to the power of God's love in Christ to redeem and transform. What an extraordinary thing that God entrusts to us as members of Christ's body to carry forward his ministry of reconciliation in this broken world. So, bottom line, with respect to the level of peace in your life today, how are you doing with that? Do you want more of it? What takes it away from you? Could it be possible that the Holy Spirit of God means for you to have more of it? And if you had more peace, wouldn't it make a remarkable difference to you, to those you love, and to all of those around you? Everything changed that first Pentecost when the church was born, because God, the Holy Spirit, made her, the church, the bride of Christ, his home. And after that happened, like Saint Cyprian, a third century bishop, said, "No one can have God as Father who does not also have the church as mother." So come, Holy Spirit, come, that we may bring glory to the Father through our witness to the Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.